Hi, everybody. It's Tim of Kuan Yin Healing, and I'm we're here for our second bonus question and answer session, and I'm here on the line by myself. So I'm going to look at a couple of things that people brought up and that over the last couple of weeks, rather. And some of this is kind of on the vague side, but that's okay. So let's see. Let me start with, well, she didn't ask it specifically at a question. She did post it on Facebook for the world to see. So Nikki raised the question that, you know, after having some pretty intense experiences and feeling pretty fantastic, she was feeling disconnected and didn't really add anything to that. And I think that comes up from time to time. And let's take a look at some of the important aspects of that. And some related issues to that. So this is a good place to start. So first, excuse me if I'm a little distracted. One of my cats is desperately trying to get into the action here, and I'm trying not to get her tangled in all the cords. All right, so first of all, we can't literally be disconnected. That's probably the place to start. You know, we never were disconnected in any real sense, right? Except that our energy isn't really in alignment. So what we do in the reconnection or in energy alignment, it doesn't really matter which, is the that connection from divine. Excuse me if I hesitated. I'm looking for the manifestation files while we're talking, because I think that might be useful here. So it's not actually possible to be, to be disconnected. We can, however, feel disconnected, right? This is a very, very different thing. So why do we feel disconnected? Remember that there are the five major levels of being: physical, emotional, mental, spiritual or Buddhic, and the Atma, awareness plane. And feelings are close to the bottom, okay? They're only the second plane up. And our feelings are reflections of our thoughts. So again, feelings are important feedback mechanism. They tell us, okay, if we're headed in the good direction or not. If we are... doing something that is just completely the wrong direction for us, right? Our feelings are warning us, you know, danger, danger, in the same way that your hand on a hot stove would warn you of that. And so the thing to do is not to wallow it and go, geez, this is what we tend to do, isn't it? We wallow in it and go, I feel so terrible. Oh, no, I feel so, everything is going wrong. And so we start to focus entirely on how we aren't feeling good. And energy goes, you know, flows where attention goes. So if we're paying attention to that and we're feeding that, you're going to create a whole pile of it. And you're going to have yourself quite a field day with that. It's just going to get worse and worse and spiral out of control, right? Like my friend who likes to say, did you have a bad day or did you have a bad moment? And milk it all day. So the thing to do, first of all, is to be aware of that process. And the same thing is true in reverse, you know. When we feel terrific, you're doing something that's feeding your spirit. You are in love. You are in gratitude and appreciation. And you, consequently, it feels terrific. This is exactly the perfect direction to go. It's why important to look at not simply what do we want, but what do we love. It's too easy to lie to ourselves about what we want, because most of us have taught ourselves to want what we think we can have, not what we really want. Okay, so again, that's an awareness thing. I saw also on Facebook, for all the world to see, so I hope it's okay to share, since everybody already knows. Selena shared one day, I don't remember exactly what she said, but you know, her day was had kind of taken a left turn and when she wanted to go right, and but she was aware of it, you know, and she whatever she said exactly, she was writing that you know, she saw exactly where the mistakes were and what was going on and what needed to change, and that's perfect. That's perfect. You know, it takes time to get control of all these things and to learn how to do these things, and it takes practice. So simply being aware is a really, really important first step. The next thing to recognize about this is that there is a you know, when you're feeling disconnected, remind yourself that that's not actually true and use the connection. It's still there, right? Just because there are clouds, there are still stars, right? So you get quiet and understand that, you know, again, emotions come from our thoughts. You need to change the quality of your thoughts. If you're feeling disconnected, that thought energy is in between your feelings and spirituality. And there is no way, this is, I think, maybe the number one reason we all spin our wheels so much. There is no way to wrap your head around spirit and spirituality and awareness. There is no way to do it. You cannot do it. You will always drive yourself nuts because it's at a faster vibration than mental thought energy. It is literally beyond it. In the same way that you can't, you know, get through algebra based on emotion, right? It's the wrong energy. So you have to let go and you have to open up. If you find your head spinning, it sounds silly, and first thing you'll do is say, I can't do this, just what I did, but it's a wonderful tool. You actually, you know, open up the lid of your head, take out your brain, set it on the nightstand, let it sit there and go nuts. You go about your day. And literally do this, you know. Our minds, our conscious minds, are only 5% of our mind. And yet we try to run everything with that 5% of our mind. And the rest of the mind is faster and more powerful. The middle brain, the lower brain, they're much faster. They're much more powerful. They can handle amounts of energy and data that are just astounding. Way, way, way beyond our conscious brain. Learn to use these brains, and you can't do it by overthinking things. Okay? And overwhelm and fear and emotions tells you are overthinking things. You have instincts. Trust them. Trust them. And understand, because I'm going to use my whole brain, not just the little 5% that is so slow. So you step back and understand that you need to get out of your conscious mind to use your entire brain. You need to get out of your conscious mind to access your intuition. Okay? And you need to get into your intuition to access awareness and connection. Okay? So this all takes practice. This all takes practice. So start by just understanding and being aware. This is a very powerful thing to recognize. I learned this, or got reminded of this, but powerfully so. I just came from I'll tell you the whole story. I just came from a conference in San Diego last week on enlightened business, and heard a couple of remarkable speakers, including Tim Kelly, who is doing incredible work at the top level in major businesses on this new paradigm in business. And so I was looking at this more or less as a retreat to get out of my typical space and to try to work through some of the things that I'm kind of trying to work through. So of course, you know, a day like this, it starts by spending my day in airports and on airplanes, so never the most relaxing environment. I had a connecting flight in Chicago, and I'm already tired and it's late. And I'm walking through the airport, through O'Hare. The way you walk through airports, especially a large one like that, you know, very rapidly walking through the crowds, trying to find my gate, and I round this corner, and I swear to you, it's 6 feet in front of me. It's a column, 2.5 feet wide, with letters a good 4 inches high on it that says, "Emerson, consider it solved." And I'm half tired, and this is what I run into. Like, okay, the universe apparently feels that some of us need bigger signs and more apparent signs than others. And I walk to the next, you know, the very next column, maybe, I don't know, 15 feet later, says exactly my worry. It said literally, "It's never been done before." And the next column says, "Emerson, consider it solved. It's never been done before." And it continues in this vein, then it gets into the actual amazing things that this company does. But anyway, I get to the lecture, you know, days later, I'm at the lecture at Tim Kelly, and he reminded me, something I knew but I didn't really wrap my head around, is that top business leaders, way more than you would think, okay, it's actually extremely common, spend a large portion of their day, 1 or 2 hours of their work day, in prayer and meditation. And they spend an hour or two in prayer and meditation, not as an escape, not as a break, but to get the answers that they cannot get from their conscious brains. It is literally a conscious strategy that they use to get the answers they don't have. A number of famous people have done this. Thomas Edison, you know, Ford used to deliberately take naps for ideas, things like this. And Tim Kelly pointed out then that, look, the moment you have a desire, the plan already exists at the same time, instantly. This is what pure potential is, right? I mean, there's no other way for something to come from the spark of the divine except through pure potentiality. And so there already is a plan. Your job then is to get quiet and listen to what it is. So two important things. You know, the answer to your problem exists instantly. Instantly. The only reason there's a problem at all is that we aren't listening. You know, the closest thing we have to problems is be calm, listen. I can, you know, there are so many stories that people share about this once they learn how to do this powerfully. But like anything else, it takes practice. It's a muscle. You need to get in, roll up your sleeves, try it, do it for a while. Okay, so it's not actually possible to be disconnected. That's one thing. The second thing is use your connection, okay? It is there. It is there. Third thing you can do, you have all been through already, you know, an energy alignment and or a reconnection. And you know what it feels like. Okay? And that is something that is there always. Okay? The whole time-space thing. Once you've experienced something once, it's yours. And you can lay down, close your eyes, breathe, and go through the memory of that process and how that felt. And in so doing, you will be flowing energy yourself through all those paths. Okay? You will yourself be awakening all those connections. You will yourself reopen all of that and reaccess all of that. And you can do this very powerfully. Okay? One of the first things that happens in energy alignment is that the brain becomes so very, very calm. That's because you are working through those knots that we usually put there, right? The higher frequency doesn't recognize those blockages. The same thing, last Q&A call, we talked about a technique for accessing your intuition. One of the very first things that happens is your conscious brain just energy just shrinks. Okay, to its proper proportion, because you're working with much faster vibrations. Okay? But if you put your attention on the feelings and the thoughts, that's where your energy is going to be. And you are going to, quote, feel, right, unquote, disconnected, only because that's where you're focusing. Okay. So Kuan Yin healing has four pillars: clarity, connection, coherence, and change. The clarity part, this is whole about getting honest about, you know, getting aware about what's going on, understanding what's going on. The connection part is what we've just been talking about, that connection to higher power and through all levels. Okay? Remember that if you're not feeling a connection at the highest levels, you are disconnected at the physical, emotional, mental, and Buddhic levels, right? There is resonance between all of these. And you can look at things, what's going on in my physical space, what's going on in my mind, you know, my mental practice, my emotional practice, my spiritual practice, you know, where am I spending attention here? Coherence, okay? All of those different levels have to vibrate together coherently. If they're not, then even though they're connected, they aren't going to work well. In the same way that if your car has all the parts, but they're not, you know, working well together, that isn't going to work. And the last one is change. If you want things to happen differently, you have to do different things. Okay? We have to make changes. Another point I want to raise on this is the law of, I don't think we've talked about yet, you know, talk about things like the law of attraction and intention, things like that. There is also a law of gestation. Okay? You know, anyone, well, anyone good in, you know, in healthy order can create life, right? It's, as long as you're a mature sexual adult, you can create life. But there's, but it takes 9 months, right? There's a gestation period. You know, you, it's not hard to create vegetables, but there's a gestation period. And the same thing is true of anything. You know, that vegetable is going to happen from the moment that seed was in damp ground, okay? But it still takes time. And if it didn't take time, it wouldn't grow properly. If you think back to the hero's journey and the trials are not blockages. They're not just to prevent us from our desires, but they're to make sure that we have the tools and effective growth we need at each stage before we move on. Okay? It's a very, very crucial part. That's what the law of gestation does, and make sure that you're healthy, right? Look what happens with a premature child, for example. Okay? Or if vegetables grow too quickly, you know, they can't support the produce. The vegetable plants grow too quickly, they can't support the produce. If a tree grows too quickly, it's very, very vulnerable, okay, to storms. So the law of gestation is a major blessing. Time takes time, and it's a good thing that time takes time. This is the reason for living as we do in a physical existence. It slows things down so that we can learn to work with them, okay? If everything happened for us at the level of the divine spark, you know, we would be like the child of the sun god, you know, burning up the heavens because we just aren't ready for that yet. Okay, the other thing I thought when I was listening to this disconnection is, I immediately thought, I can tell you two things with near certainty. And the first would be, whenever I hear something like that, two things have stopped happening. One is the practice of gratitude has stopped. Okay? If the practice of gratitude was continuing, we would never be in that situation. Because gratitude by itself is a positive thought energy. It is directing energy towards things you want and appreciate. You know, I love what my dad shared with me, that, you know, what if you woke up tomorrow and you only had the things you're grateful for today? It's a powerful energy. It's not a nice step. It is a crucial part of a healthy, vibrant, growing existence. We must, okay, embrace that. We must be grateful for the things that we have, or there's just no way to move on from there because we're beginning from a mindset of scarcity. We have already set up the walls. Okay, so it's not possible to manifest from that point. The second thing that I can say with almost certainty has fallen by the wayside is starting the day with a spiritual practice, whatever it is, prayer, meditation, reading, tree contemplation, green tea, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, it apparently has stopped, or we wouldn't feel disconnected. And this is how important those things are. And I did the same thing when I first started this. You know, it worked great for a while, and then it wasn't working. And then I would realize later, what happened to my meditation practice? And I would get back to it. And then I would. It took me a few loops of this before I finally realized, okay, this is not an if I have time thing. This is crucial. One of the greatest blessings of my life right now is at the beginning of the summer, because I wanted to rethink a whole bunch of things. And I had time to do it at the beginning and starting mid-spring. I upped my morning spiritual practice from 20 minutes to 2 hours. A lot of that is positive reading, 30 minutes of meditation, morning coffee. And it was so powerful, and the change is so profound, that when I got into my, quote, busy season, unquote, I decided I could not afford to cut that back. But listen to what I just said carefully. When I got into my busy season, I decided I could not afford to cut that back. And you know what? I have more time than I have ever had. It's not perfect yet, you know, progress, not perfection. I'm still working through this stuff as you are. But a stunning difference. Just like those business leaders, that part of their day is prayer and meditation. Part of my day is starting with 2 hours of prayer and meditation, positive reading. And it has to. I can't imagine my day going that. And then, even if I start off not in the best place, I have all that powerful help to help me with that. Okay? It's crucial. You can't miss a day. So I would suggest those things. You need a daily practice of gratitude, even if it's small things. You must. You need a daily spiritual practice to start from that clean focal point every day, where things just build. And soon you start looking at negative energy, and soon you start feeling disconnected again. One final technique is to really find yourself kind of feeling lost and you need some help. Sit down, meditation, close your eyes, and surround yourself with, you know, however many you can think of that are appropriate to you. You know, six of the most famous people you can think of who would be good at that particular problem. And literally ask them their advice. That energy is there. You will be amazed at how stunningly powerful this is. I would also add to this the importance of a vision board, if you've never tried this. Vision boards are powerful ways because we, you know, our larger brain, other than the conscious brain, works more with pictures than with language. And a vision board very powerfully focuses us on where we're going. Rather than where we are or where we're afraid we might be going. Right. So a long, long answer to a question that wasn't maybe specifically asked, but I think something very important to talk about. The question then becomes, you know, do I want to? Do I want to feel connected? You know, that change aspect. Now, the last thing to do about this is, you know, this is that whole process of going through the Kuan Yin journey. Focuses on these steps, but you know it's a very comprehensive and very thorough and very packed program, right? It's not something that where you can possibly absorb all of it just going through quickly. So it's very important to, you know, if you're serious about this, to go back through and go, okay, I've got the overview. Now what I need to do is go back to lesson one and go back through that content and the strategy and the recording again slowly. Spend a week reading through it slowly, carefully, step by step. Or even longer. Then go on to the second module and the third and the fourth and so forth. And so that you can start going in more deeply, in more depth. And you'll catch, because you know more things than you did before, you will catch more things than you caught before. You will understand things you didn't understand before. The first time through, many of you wrote to say things like, you know, I see how the pieces fit together in a way I never did before. You will see more of that as you go through this. Okay? Things that were at first wild ideas will become practical realities and steps and strategies for you. And you will add your own understanding to this. Okay? So it's very important. Go back through that. And go back through that again. It's very comprehensive. It's not intended to go through once. And the next step after going through that is also understand that as we grow, we go through, as my mentor used to tell me, it's like peeling an onion. It's like, and the first time it's very mysterious. Like, man, I thought I had this. Things were going so great, and now, you know, I'm back to feeling the way I did before. I'm like, what's wrong? And nothing is wrong at all. What has happened is you have completely dealt with the outer layer or layers, and very successfully. And now you're looking at inner layers that were hidden before underneath those outer problems. Okay? So this is actually a very positive thing. And the thing to do with those inner layers is, okay, I've been here before. Oh, I know the steps. Let's go back to step one, okay? Which is another thing to go through the whole program again. And the first time it's a little bit, man, I thought I had this, but, you know, that's kind of like saying, oh, man, you know, I thought I'd cleaned my house and now it's dusty again, you know? I thought I'd ate dinner and now I'm hungry again, you know? Geez, I bathed yesterday and now I need a bath again. Man, it's just, you know, part of the reality of life. And after you do that a few times, you'll get accustomed to it. You recognize the process. It's just not a big deal, okay? And you recognize it for what it is, and you make very, very rapid growth and understand things, even as you go through your stuff. You'll find that those ups and downs become gentle bumps, okay, that outside people won't even hardly notice you're going through anymore. Okay? And it's very important after going through all these to look at that bonus module, 9 Steps to Manifestation. These are ways to take all that understanding and change and connection and make it intensely practical. And so take another look at that module as well. Okay? In step one of that module, we went back through a look at the levels of being and really understanding the 333 process. And it's a lot easier to go through your mind, emotional, and physical stuff if you understand that there's a reflection of what's happening at the Atma intuition causal body, okay? And that soul body is a reflection of divine potential spark and forms, okay? And then it's really hard to feel disconnected when we really understand the significance of that connection. Excuse me while I try to adjust the cat again. And again, coming back to the supreme importance of spiritual practice and meditation. This is part of who we are. The second step of that process is the role of desire. Okay, going right back to the beginning. What is it you want? Look at that again. It may have changed. It probably has changed. Why do you want that? Why do you want that? Why do you want that? Do this again. What is it you love? Why do you love that? Why do you love that? If you're too busy, ask yourself, why am I too busy to spend some time looking at what I want and what I love, right? There's something wrong. Something's out of balance here. Change that. Desire is not a bad thing, but we've learned to squelch our desires, to squash them. And it takes some practice to uncover them again and to really get at the self-honest truth. Now, this is what I want, this here. And then to know that if you want it, you can have it. There is a clear path. Get quiet and listen to it. Step three, service. You know, if you're wrapped up in your own head, call somebody. Find out how their day is going. Go out, you know, help them. Go volunteer somewhere. Figure out what you can do to give to other people. You know, go on a forum and see who's having problems and help them solve their problems. It will get you out of your own head. It will get the energy flowing again. But also, you know, how does what you want serve other people? Now, remember, abundance is a river. Okay? There's continually energy flowing in. It also needs to continually flow out. It needs to be channeled. Okay? Or we don't have a river. We have floods or swamps or droughts. Step four is belief. Okay? I don't mean in the sense of blind faith, but rather a knowing. A knowing. Belief determines our actions determine our experience determines our belief. If you believe something can't be done, you're right. It can be done. You're right. And science has stepped up to the plate on this. Bruce Lipton is one who has actually pointed out the moment that you decide something could do, literally your cell chemistry changes. Literally, your cell chemistry changes. When you decide, okay, there is a way to do this, literally your brain changes. We can measure these changes. You literally rewire your brain chemistry, your brain circuits, the moment you make those decisions. I mean, it's phenomenal how powerfully we create in instants that really are that powerful. But we have to learn to manage our thoughts, and that includes belief, and that includes focus, okay? As Abraham's repeats, a belief is simply a thought you continue to hold. Okay? It's simply a thought you continue to hold. You need to focus and hold that thought and to be grateful for that. You know, if you believe something and the course is a plan and you just listen and follow what you're told, that is something to be grateful for, and that adds all the more power. Okay? Step five, beware of overwhelm. Usually here we need to focus. We need to focus. I recently laid out my plan for Kuan Yin Healing for the next 15 months. I spent some time on it. It was part of the project of the San Diego getaway. And I was talking to my business coach last week, and I went through all the realizations I had come to and what this plan was, and it was the fruit of so much effort. And he said to me, I don't think I have ever heard you so clear and so simple, you know? And I'm like, wow. And he's right. Suddenly, there was a focus. And as soon as I had a focus, everything else is just details. Everything else is just details. And then I'll tell you a secret about overwhelm that has taken me way too long to learn. If even then there are just too many things to do, well, then stop doing them all yourself. You know, if it's a business thing, you know, where's the help you should be getting to get this? If it's a home thing, you know, what are you doing that your children should be doing? The teaching, what are you doing that the student should be doing? What are you doing that shouldn't be on your plate at all? You know, what are you doing that could be a communal effort if you reached out for help? What are you, you know, that's it. When we're trying to be all things all at once, you know, you're trying to be the divine. It's a team effort. You have to work with other people and get results to other people if you want to be spiritually successful. Okay? Connection and team is how it works. Step six of manifestation is choosing our limits. You are limited by space and time as long as you're going to have a physical existence. So that means you have to make choices. So on the one hand, you know, desire, you can choose whatever you want. On the other hand, you do have to choose, you know, and choosing is going to create limits. You can't do anything, but you can decide what they are. You can decide what they are. You know, step seven, where are you running against other people? Bless them. These are the challenges in the hero's journey, the trials that you need to work through. These are the skill sets that you need to acquire to move forward successfully. Thank the universe for these, because it's saving your ass, right? It's making sure that you're ready. Okay? Okay, step eight, after you've done the allowing, so we don't have any of the flow being dammed up, you know, where is it going? You need to direct it. Energy goes where attention, energy flows where attention goes. You know, this is the part people usually say, oh, you need to set very clear intentions, specific amounts by, you know, specific dates. Yeah, this is where you're setting those exact plans. But it's not the first step, okay? Usually people jump to this too quickly. But I will tell you, to state these goals in the present tense, even if it sounds like, well, I'm lying to myself, it's a fantasy. No, you have to get yourself into the energy of not like, okay, I will make $10,000 a month or whatever your goal is. Say, you know, you need to change that for I am making $10,000 a month already right now. You have to get yourself into that state. And then go back to your intuition and going, and the steps I'm following are these. So, you know, you need a plan. Otherwise, it's just a wish. Okay? You need to see yourself where you are. Visualize yourself where you're going, who you're with, all those details. There are so many stories of musicians, athletes, business people who visualized where they were going and what they were doing in extremely concrete detail, not as they wished, but they saw themselves there, you know, picking up that Olympic gold medal. They saw themselves at every part of the track. Make it real. Put yourself there. Okay? You know, imagination. Turn to pictures. Get out of your head. Access all of your brain. Okay? You are such powerful creators. But most of us are creating our own chaos. Simply by not creating your chaos, you start allowing more powerful things to happen. And then by focusing in positive direction, you can very quickly realize things that you thought were impossible. I'll give you an example. I have a pet project. So I saw somebody, Harvard, MIT, I don't remember which, some engineering students as a project, went to a village in Africa that, you know, when, as many villages there do, they had a problem with getting fresh water. There's no good source for fresh water. But the air humidity is very high. So he actually made this billboard looking like contraption that pulls humidity out of the air, and it supplies fresh water for the entire village. And I thought, this is really, really cool. Somebody should do something. You know, I was thinking on the plane to San Diego, you know, money is not a very big motivator for me, but what would I do if I came by a large, very large sum of money? I thought, you know what, I'd fund projects like that, you know? I was thinking somebody should do something like that. That's what I would do. I would run that down and see if we can't put this in more villages. And then later I was thinking, wait a second. You know, all the details are there, the knowledge is there. You know, it's been done once. It's like these are all known things. All that needs to happen now is to pull together the resources, okay, and direct it into making that happen. That means now, you know, I certainly know people who have influence. And suddenly what I'm getting at is what was impossible that morning, suddenly I realized was not only possible, it was possible that day. From there it becomes a choice. You know, write an email, pick up the phone, get the ball rolling. Anybody could do this. You know, and that's how close we are to creating things, especially once we get out of trying to do everything by ourselves and we're willing to step up into part of a team. You know, things happen in collaboration. That's where the energy is. That's where the power is. Okay, well, I hope that's helpful. Eileen also sent me a question, although it's not really a question. She says, during the last 6 months, the ebb and flow of the intensity of this new energy, for lack of a better word, actually that's a good word, has been interesting. There are rhythms that don't correspond to my practice or devotion, or even vigilant thought monitoring. Even though I can hear the frequencies when I'm quiet, it doesn't seem to help those moments of feeling out of sync with the universe. On the flip side, Tuesdays remain prime time for those aha moments here. It is as if a window opens, and it is so easy to get it. Your thoughts, ideas, suggestions are getting through those valleys would be appreciated. Gratitude and love. Good signature. Gratitude and love to you too, Eileen. All right, now, so the first part of this question we've been talking about already. Okay, the ebb and flow, the rhythms that don't correspond. I can hear the frequencies when I'm quiet. What she's talking about is this, you can literally hear this energy. It's like a very high, high pitch. It's different than ringing in the ears. You can tell the difference. But it doesn't help those moments of feeling out of sync with the universe. So again, this is a feeling, okay? So it's pointing out that you're a little bit incongruent. And the way to do that is to change your thoughts and to go back to all the things we just said about the connection, okay? Now, here's the wonderful thing. On the flip side, Tuesdays remain prime time for those aha moments here. So what she's talking about here is, Eileen and her daughters, Heather and Tesla, would get together every Tuesday when we're having our sessions, and that was like a family energy thing. And it was very transformative. And after the Kuan Yin Journey course ended, they elected to continue getting together on Tuesdays, which is a wonderful practice. And when their daughter Grace returned from India, immediately noticed the change and energy in the house. And so here's a couple of things. You know, being reminded of just how real and powerful this is. You know, another nice story that goes with this, when before her daughters got involved, Eileen had done one of the days of her energy alignment, and immediately afterwards, her daughter walks in and says, "Mom, what happened to you? You're glowing, right?" It's you know, so we're dealing with some very powerful things here, and so you know, adjust to that, accept that. But what she's talking about here is the same thing as a daily spiritual practice. It sets up a space for that. It's a grounding moment. Okay, that's what it's for. It was a fantastic idea when she thought of it. It's a fantastic idea now, and this is the purpose and the heart of routine spiritual practice. Okay. Daily practice, daily spiritual practice grows. It just does. Getting together with other people, it gets us out of our own thinking and into different thinking. There's a wonderful book. It's a very quick read by Spencer Johnson called Peaks and Valleys, where he talks about peaks and valleys, and it's an allegory about a young man going up to seek this older man in a mountain and a mentor, and and challenges and how he's seeing them and how a change in perspective changes that and how he brings that back to his daily life. But then after a while, it doesn't work, and how the mistakes creep in, you know, because we're still the same people, you know. We say in recovery, in early recovery, why isn't my life, dramatically better? Well, you know, if the saying is, if you take a drunken horse thief, you sober him up. Now you've got a sober horse thief. Okay? There's still work to be done. We're not horse thieves, but nonetheless, you know, who we are, you know, there's still work to be done there. Step by step, if you, you know, if you walked 20 miles into the forest, you've got a 20-mile walk out of the forest. And you know, that's just reality, and that's okay. We can walk out in intense awareness. To understand that our journeys have purpose, again, the hero's journey, the point isn't to escape into you know, magic and awareness for ourselves. The point of the hero's journey is to take those gifts back to the village and to learn to share those with others. Kuan Yin, the point of enlightenment is enlightenment for oneself. It's enlightenment for the world, compassion for the world, joy for the world, and to bring those things back. One of the ways to do this as well is to get out of ourselves and to share, to bring compassion to the world, to share with the world, to help others with the world. You know, I could easily run a business with my knowledge, just putting together e-books very quickly, throwing them up, you know, on various topics and selling them, and I could work very quickly, very rapidly, and you know, with very little complication. I'd probably be more successful, actually. But the thing is, I would much rather roll up my sleeves and get in and look at, okay, what is it that people want? Where are they having trouble? Why are they having trouble? Work past that. Okay, that is far more rewarding work, and it's far more rewarding work because I learned so much more doing that. You know, my associate Marina Orms and I, when we talk of Astrology Heals, when we get together and talk, there are things where she's ahead of me, and there are places where I'm ahead of her, both personally and business-wise. And what happens when we work together is that we level the other one up to that instantly, right away, you know, saving each of us months of work in progress. Now, that also means we often need a little emotional space, you know, to make that adjustment. And that's okay. But the option would be to learn everything by ourselves and to go through all the challenges that we'd have to go by ourselves. And what would happen is we'd give up before we got to the goal. You know, it'd be too much. When we learn to connect with other people, we make very rapid progress. Who is already doing what I would like to do? Okay. Even if it's somebody famous, you'd be amazed how easy it is to get access to people when you go about it in a respectful way, in a good way. Okay. In a way that's helping. So, well, I hope some of this helps. Since you don't have any callers, and that's the only questions I've got, we're close to an hour here. I guess I will bring this to a close for now. And this is the last of our bonus calls. I would remind you that 6 days, 6 sessions, 6 seeds for success, the Kuan Yin Path, is starting on October 20th. And it's a free set of completely new 6 teleseminars. Listen to them themselves, but of course, invite friends. Let's pack this thing, okay? Instead of like free offerings all the time, these are going to be rarer events, twice a year. So this isn't going to happen again for half a year. So get people into this. In November, there'll be the relaunch of the Kuan Yin Journey. You know, people should get into the Kuan Yin Path, these 6 teleseminars for free, and then they'll know if it's something they want to move ahead with, yes or no, and whether it's appropriate for them. So I invite you very, very much to share your experiences and to give people a taste of all of this. We're going to be looking at living abundance in terms of what does it mean to live abundantly, not simply in terms of cash, but you know, resources, time, love, We're going to really get into the nuts and bolts of that. We're going to look at emotional challenges. We're going to look at stress, overwhelm, fear, uncertainty. We're going to look at spiritual growth, bringing this into the real world, finding balance. How do we accomplish all that? We are going to look at how to get unstuck, how to manifest. Anytime we're stuck, it's very difficult because, by definition, we've already done what we need to do, what we know, right? And so we, by definition, are missing pieces at that point. And then we'll really get into the last part, if healing isn't magic, you know, where's my miracle? And going through the four pillars of the Kuan Yin path in detail and giving people the option to continue if that's appropriate for them. So I certainly hope you'll join me, and I hope that you will invite many, many people and them to invite many, many people as well. I would love to get, we can handle 1,000 people on the call. I would love to pack it. And to share this as much as possible, as is possible in those six sessions. It has truly been my pleasure to work with each of you, to serve you, to help you on your path. I sincerely hope that I'll be seeing more of you. In November, incidentally, I'll be launching a program for those people who need and want intensive one-on-one work. In implementing these, there'll be more about that coming up in November. But in the meantime, I wish you all well. I love all of you very deeply. And God bless and take care. Realize your dreams. Share it with others. Okay? Namaste.